Everybody, welcome back to another edition of Cruise Life Experience Podcast. Cruise Director Mitch.
And Cruise Director Mike from my home in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. Welcome to episode number 3 of our podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. Mitch, very exciting episode number 3 of our podcast. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, exactly. First of all, as we said last week, we're going to talk about some of our favorite home ports, but that's going to be also brought in with a special guest and someone we know very well who is experienced working in the cruise industry, who's done all kinds of different jobs, and recently creator of the Virtual of the Seas, which is doing really well. Abe Hughes will be joining us.
It's going to be great. We're also going to talk about how cruise lines have started to think about ways to kick things back off once they do start allowing passengers to come on board their ships all around the world. And there's a couple of cruise lines who have actually released some guidelines. And we're going to kick off today's episode talking a little bit about that. And that is Genting Cruise Lines. Now, the name might not be familiar here in North America. However, they do have a big stake. They own, of course, Star Cruises, Dream Cruises, and Crystal Cruises. And of course, they own probably, I'm saying it's around 15 ships or so.
Yep, 14 ships.
They've come up with a set of guidelines and how they hope to reintegrate everything and cruising to get back up on its feet. So I'm going to kind of talk a little bit to the points of this. And Mitch, what I want you to do is I want you to rebut or agree if you think it's good. Nobody really knows. We're so far out. We're still in the month of April. We are so far out. I mean, in a month's time from now, this could be completely different. And we're in no way saying that this is how it's going to be. This is just the information that's been released to the media. And so we're going to talk a little bit about it. So what they started with saying with embarkation is they want to screen and pre-board health declarations, essentially saying you're going to have a waiver. You're going to sign it saying that you are healthy and of, you know, free of any kind of known virus. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Good. Infrared screening system at the gangway. Now, I'm not sure exactly how that works. It's probably way above my mental capacity or pay grade, but I imagine it would somewhat check your temperature or something like that. Is that what I'm assuming?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't mentioned too much about it, but if you kind of Google that and research it, that's kind of what it is. I'm sure we're going to see stuff like that at the airports as time goes on anyway. So, yeah, I mean, and it seems like something that we would expect anyway to make sure everyone's healthy and safe getting on the ship.
Great. Increased sanitization, which is a given. I'm not even going to ask you about that. They say guests over 70 years of age will need a doctor's note. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, this is what they call a fit to travel certification. So this is something that the cruise industry, when we heard a statement from CLIA last month, they had said when cruising was starting to, you know, go through the initial concern area when the virus is starting to hit, that's what they were proposing. So, I mean, this could just be one of those things that they put out there and just makes it safe for everybody. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I mean, it seems like it could be a good idea.
Sure. They talked about an online check-in and receiving arrival times to arrive at the specific times to minimize the crowds.
I mean, we already do this, at least I think in some cruise lines do it. So this could possibly be a little bit more strict where they want only a certain amount of people due to social or physical distancing. So they will make it so that the, you know, the areas where you get inside and do your check-ins a lot easier to navigate with less people. Makes sense.
Service at the buffet restaurants will be suspended.
Yeah, well, I don't think this should come as a surprise to anybody who's cruised before. So this is, you know, only in the buffet area. And if you've been on a cruise many times, you may have seen where we have our enhanced health protocols where sometimes you will see the crew members serving guests. And I think that could be just what we start back with for, you know, could be like that for a while, could be like that forever, could change back. We'll see. But it sounds about right to make it start off that way. What do you think?
Well, you know, Nastr talked about it in our last podcast about people putting food on their plate, walking down and then picking stuff up and actually eating it and then touching the tongs for something else to put it in. So absolutely, it makes sense. It's just whether or not the food and beverage department will have the manpower or where they will get that manpower from to assist in serving the guests at the buffet line. It's something that's going to have to be investigated. They say theaters to be sanitized before and after each show, which makes sense. They'll just have to adjust the show times if that's what they're thinking. That's, of course, we're talking about Genting Cruise Lines, who has released their updated health protocols. And this came out on April the 6th, so earlier this month. And they said an interesting point, guest capacity when they start back up, maybe just for the first couple cruises, maybe for the first couple months, but they say it's going to be limited to half to provide ample space for physical distancing.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is stuff that if you just all think about it, it makes sense. It's stuff that, you know, you think about to how to spread people out. So it sounds like a good idea. I mean, we'll see how long it lasts. It will be tricky for people, you know, depending on how many shows, you may have to add show times just to make sure that people can still be entertained and see the stuff they want to see.
Sure. They said a few things about the crew, that they'll do twice daily temperature checks, and the frontline crew to wear masks.
Yes, saw that. So, you know, they're talking about that reduction of crew movement, so less transfers. But the masks is interesting. That's, you know, I mean, I think that at the beginning, it's a good idea. You know, it will be tricky because it'll be, you know, you're not used to that. But at the end of the day, if you're wearing a mask, you'll still be able to socialize and interact. And I mean, that's one of the key parts about a cruise is interacting with the crew and the fellow guests. So, I mean, if that's what it takes to start up, I think it's a great idea. I mean, so you said Genting, they put this out April 6th. And just a couple days ago, Princess Cruise Lines also put out a press release with their guidelines of getting back into service. And it's pretty much almost exactly the same as this.
Yeah, and we'll have a chance to actually talk to a cruise director from Princess Cruise Lines, Alexander, who we're going to have on board. Isn't that funny? Freudian slip right there. But I would think that all of the cruise lines will become united in what protocols are actually put in once everything gets up and going. We do know that cruising has been postponed. Been pushed back by a lot of the cruise lines to the mid or the end of June, be it. But we're all looking forward to getting back.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we're just going to keep watching the press releases. We're at home. We don't know anything, but we know definitely that all the cruise lines, like you said, are going to want to be united. Not everybody only goes on a Royal Caribbean or a Carnival or a Princess. A lot of people like to try different cruise lines, and it will make things a lot easier for the industry and most importantly our guests and crew if the cruise lines are unified. And because we are a part of CLIA, the Internet Cruise Line International Association, they're probably going to be working hard to make sure everyone follows the guidelines. Now, one thing to think about is that Genting is over in Asia, so they don't really have to follow the CDC guidelines, but we know because of CLIA that everyone's going to be more than likely unified, which is something that we like to see.
And that's great. There's a lot of people out there who think that cruise lines really have a dislike for others, but you know what? When we get into a port of call like Cozumel or Bahamas and we're all, you know, meeting up at the same place to, you know, break bread together. It's a very small industry and it's a very small world. And, you know, people think that we might not get along, but in essence, we really do. We are one big family. Doesn't matter what cruise line we work for.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about it. So many people have worked for other cruise lines and, you know, it's one industry. It's like working for a different hotel or a different restaurant. It's all the same. It's all the same. And you know that.
Yeah. I do. And we are going to bring in our first guest. Let me tell you a little bit about our first guest. Began, I believe, back in 2003 in the cruise industry, left for a little bit, came back, and has left ships, per se. He's a very good friend to both of us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind, please welcoming Mr. Abe Hughes. Mr. Abe Hughes.
What? Hello?
How are we doing?
Hello.
Hey, am I on?
You are on and live.
Oh my gosh.
Is this thing on?
I've been waiting for so long for this moment.
Hey, we've been waiting for you.
You truly have. How you guys doing?
Good. Let's let Abe keep talking so we can read what kind of books he has in his backdrop there.
Oh, you don't really want to go through this. Yeah. There's a plethora of them. Yeah, would you like a small sample of some of the books that we have?
Oh, we're good. We're good, man.
Oh, he's gonna do it.
I know it anyway.
Let's just go for the top four here. First one: Five People Who Died During Sex.
Oh, jeez.
You Better Not Cry. It's a inspirational story tells from Christmas. The Truth About Chuck Norris, of course. It's a very popular book. And probably the most important one, a New York Times bestseller list, Why Do Men Have Nipples?
Oh, that's, God.
Just four of the finest that we have here on the bookshelf behind me.
But I think we're sorry we asked.
Hey, listen, first off, how are you doing? How is the family doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm actually wondering how exactly you introduce me to the audience that's watching this right now.
Well, you have to wait and see.
Who am I today?
Well, you know what? We want to talk a little bit about where you came from before we get into kind of what you're really known for at this very moment in time. But can you walk us through where you came from, where you started in the cruise industry, and kind of how you got your first job, and maybe some people that you worked with, and that kind of stuff?
Okay. Well, I started with Royal Caribbean in 2003. How did I actually get there? Just out of college, I moved to Las Vegas, kind of on a whim. My brother was living out there at the time. And while I was living in Vegas and working in Vegas, I met many people that had worked on ships in the past. And every single story they had was on the beaches of Aruba, sailing in and out of Sydney, Australia, while we were in Mykonos. And here I am, a kid from Nebraska, and I had never been on a ship. I've never been out of the country. I didn't even have a passport. And I heard these stories on and on and on. And I just thought, I got to go work on a ship. I just need to do it. I'm young. While I do it, while I'm young and single. And then the next thing you know, I'm old and married, and I was still out on a ship. So, yeah. So I was 22, I guess, when I started back in 2003. So you could probably do the math on how old I am now. Somewhere right between the Mitch and Mike age, if I remember right.
listen, talk a little bit about, and this isn't in the questions.
Did you give me a list of questions? Because I did not get any.
I sent you a picture about 20 minutes ago. Anyway.
I've been playing these words stories, of friends.
these stories that people talk about that work on cruise ships, do you feel like at times you have to dumb them down for your non-cruise ship friends for them to really believe them because they're so out there? Like, is that something that we all do?
Or you just don't even tell your non-cruise ship friends any stories that are on the ships because they would never believe you. But yeah. In some ways, yes, it's one of those things where, and I actually just had this conversation earlier tonight with my wife. She also worked in the cruise world. And we've lived in Las Vegas a couple times in our life. We lived in Miami. We've lived in Omaha, Nebraska. We're living down here in Kansas City now. And we've lived everywhere. But when we were in Vegas, there was a lot of ex-cruise ship employees that lived there. And in Miami, obviously, a lot of ex-cruise ship employees or current industry workers. And we obviously gravitated towards their friendships. Because they just got us. They understood the stories. When we say something about, you know, heading to La Choza and Cozumel, and then that night we have, you know, the quest, it's not an explanation of the life that we lived because they already understood. And dumbing things down, yeah, a little bit, just simply because we have a lot of industry talk and a lot of industry terms. And much of it, I'm going to just throw it out there and say that just like a doctor would have to dumb down the knowledge and terminology, we have to dumb it down for our audience as well.
We haven't even talked about, and maybe that's a whole other podcast episode, is talking about cruise ship terminology. But what would be, just give us a tip of the iceberg. I guess we really can't use that, but give us just a couple cruise ship terms. Like I can think of one, cones. Do you remember that? Like from back in the day, cones. What crew members used to call them. Yes.
I go honestly back to my very first day working on a cruise ship. I was hungry. I had traveled all day. I get on the ship. It's the first time I'd ever even seen a cruise ship. And I was starving. And I asked my roommate, I want to go and eat. Where can I go get something to eat? And he said, walk down the I-95 and go to the mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one, I said, I don't know what the I-95 is because it's an interstate on the East Coast. And number two, I don't want to eat in a mess. I'd like to eat in a dining hall. I'd like to eat in a cafeteria. I'd like to eat in a employee dining room that I'm used to, that we used to call it the EDR in Las Vegas at the Aladdin, or now Planet Hollywood. It was the EDR. And she's like, no, go eat in the mess. And I'm like, I don't want to eat in a mess. Well, that's what you call it on a ship. So there's certain terminology. And that was just for my very first day. And I had, you know.
I mean, when I was activities manager, I remember having a paper with about 40 or 50, you know, different things that we would give to the new joiners. And they would have to figure out, okay, so, oh, we'll see you at Dutz tomorrow night. And they'd be like, what the heck is Dutz? And that was just the short form for the dance party. I mean, people, you know, so yeah, it can be overwhelming for crew and guests or anybody trying to listen into a conversation.
Well, how about this one? Come on up to the SOB.
Yeah.
I'm like an SOB for the first 22 years of my life was a son of a B. And then the SOB. I'm going to go to what? Oh, the staff and officers bar. And I was like, oh, that's a new term for me.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, because Abe was talking about his sign-on day, the very first day. And it reminds me of the often prank that gets done to new sign-ons of the whale watch. Now, tell everybody about whale watch.
Well, whale watch, fog watch, different types of watches was essentially when you take a sign on a brand new crew member and you have them go up onto the helipad or the very front of the ship, and they are on whale watch and they have a radio that is a direct link up to the bridge, and they are in constant communication with the bridge officers to make sure that there are no whales in the way of the cruise ship. And if you see any whales or hear anything, especially the high pitch, then you need to radio up immediately because evasive maneuvers need to be calculated. And so that way we can avoid any form of whale damage.
Yes. And how many whales would you see in the deep Caribbean?
Let's see here. I think that was somewhere on the average of zero to none. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people think that it was fog watch. I remember people thought it was mean, but man, it was all in good fun and everybody got to do it. And there's even one of my favorites was all the new crew members after their first month, they would get a fake letter that we'd type up in the office. That was an electricity bill. And then you'd have to pay it. And
We had a telephone bill for a brand new hire sports staff for 3 months, but it wasn't until his third month that we jacked up the price because he got a girlfriend. Right. And so he kept on calling the cabin. So we just kept on jacking up the price. I'm like, dude, you're using the phone a lot. He's like, I'm just calling her. I'm just seeing what's going on, you know? And he ended up having to pay cash to his supervisor over the course of a few months. And then he realized after talking to somebody outside of his circle of friends, he finally realized that he was paying out money. And we did what we should have done with his money. We went to the crew bar and we bought a case of Corona and we all shared it with him.
Oh, you're right.
Good to share Corona these days. Anyway,
I think it's a good mention. It is a whole episode of fun things that crew members go through an initiation process, or you know, not really initiation, but just the welcome on board that you get. It's fun stuff.
You're such a bully, Mitch.
Yeah, right.
Well, here's the thing. Honestly, in a 6 month contract, you go from complete strangers to absolute best friends and friends that you know for life in an instant. And oftentimes you would become, you know, somewhat lifelong friends in a very short period of time, because this is not a traditional work and you go to 9 to 5 and then you go home, or even like in a dating aspect of things. If you were to go back to the single days, it's like if you, you know, if you start dating a girl, it's never I'll call you on Wednesday or I'll see you on a date on Saturday. It's I'll see you at work in about 3 hours, and there's no getting away. And I'm sure that Mike has a little bit more stories to tell about that one, being the single one of us all. So,
no, I'm not single, dude.
He's not. You're not Facebook.
Oh, I'm never on Facebook. What?
Abe, I got engaged a few months ago.
Shut up. Who's the lucky guy? Seriously, who's if you want to take this offline, we certainly can. But
yeah, no, we'll chat later. But it's a girl actually. Here, you know, Mitch, we were talking about even sharing this story at one point. But we met on a cruise ship many, many years ago, 2003, 2004. She was a dancer. I was assistant cruise director.
Oh, I was going to say she was totally a guest.
No.
That's not allowed.
Two and a half years, we dated each other. And then we went our separate ways. We both got married to different people. We both got divorced. And then early last year, we got back to communicating to each other. And I went out to New Zealand not long ago where she's filming a project. And yeah, rest is history.
Well, just one there second while I back away from the microphone.
Oh,
well, mazel tov to you there, Mike.
Mazel tov. Hey, listen, we do have some questions for you that we want to get to, just a couple. But we want to talk to you. We want to talk to everybody about one of the best things about cruising is going to cool, unique, awesome places. Where is your all-time favorite place that you've been to, and what? And if it's different, which I hope it is, where is the coolest place or coolest sail in or sail out that you've been to? So I figured we go around, maybe start with Abe, your favorite port of call that you've ever been to, and then Mitch, and then swing it back to me.
I will give you $1,000 if you can guess it in the next 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7,
Sydney.
6, 5, 4, Sweden. 3, 2. Close on the Sweden side of things, Tallinn, Estonia.
Mm. Oh, nice.
I absolutely love Tallinn, Estonia. That place, you're stepping back in time. You are in a medieval world. You go to a restaurant or a coffee shop. And you have to walk down some crazy cobblestones. It would never be approved in the United States because there needs to be a handrail at a certain height in order to get... No. These coffee shops are literally 1,000 years older than our country. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm speaking as an American and you two are up in Canada. I forgot about that. But anyway, 1,000 years older than our continent was. So there's something about Tallinn, Estonia I've always loved. My wife and I have sailed in there many, many times on multiple ships throughout the years. And I just love Tallinn. But it also depends, in a way, if you talk about ports of call, what do you want to get out of the cruise? If you love beaches and if you love to just relax and enjoy the sun, you know, places like St. Martin, places like Cozumel, seriously, as many times as we've been there, yeah, you just can't beat them. They're awesome.
The best.
If you want nature, you go to Alaska. If you want history, you go to Europe and the Baltic. So there's so many different ways that you can slice and dice it. But that's kind of my feeling on that. And then, are we going to go around the room? Or are we going to go into the,
yeah, but as a crew member, what would be your favorite home port as a, you know, as a crew member who, for the guests, you know, every cruise we're staying, you know, we're going back to the same place every single week. The crew sometimes will get a chance to get off. So for you, what's your favorite home port where the ship continually sails out of, if you had one?
Galveston, Texas, because there's not just a Walmart, but also a Target.
Okay. People have no idea.
How important it is to get to a Target on any given turnaround day.
Yeah, it's actually, we probably don't want to talk about this because it's embarrassing, but yeah, that's what you live for. That. I mean, you get off the ship, you need to resupply. You need to get your supplies.
Listen, I don't know where you've been sailing lately. I think it was Abe who, when I took over for him on the Symphony, he gave me the email address for the Amazon deliveries.
And they bring it right to the ship.
So, I was like on Amazon, like ordering stuff, so I wouldn't have to leave the port. I could just get off the ship, walk 25 steps, grab my Amazon packages, and walk back on. It was fantastic.
But I mean, we're lucky right now. But back in those old days, the good old days, that was not something that you had the luxury of.
Good old days, Mitch. I was waiting in line, 20 people, to get on a payphone to call home. That's the good old days. It was me wrestling the Filipino and Indonesian crew members for a phone. I'm telling you.
First contract in 2004, my mom used to send me VHS tapes of the hockey game so I could watch the Maple Leafs play a month later.
I remember signing on a ship where we had just literally books of DVDs. And when you would go on the ship and you'd be like, hey, what movies do you have? I think actually that's how I met my wife, because I told her that I had the Thomas Crown Affair in my cabin if she needed to refresh her memory on the events of that particular movie.
Right.
A movie. She still gives me crap. She's like, oh, you just invited me over for a movie. I'm like, no, I was serious about that. I love the movie. And it came out wrong. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, Mitch, very, very quickly, Mitch, favorite port and favorite home port.
Okay. So yeah, you said St. Martin, Cozumel. I'll go with, for me, Cozumel. Love it. They're both, I mean, in the Caribbean, if you're talking about.
We weren't talking Caribbean. We were talking anywhere in the world. He said Tallinn, Estonia. You're like Cozumel.
No, you said if you're looking for the beach or, you know, come on. For the most part, I'm in the Caribbean. That's where we are. So the most places I've been, if I had to pick in that area, would be, one of those two. But I mean, I'll just go with my favorite home port, because that's what I was. It's really hard to throw on your favorite port. It's, as you said, you named off four or five. But for me, Sydney. That's why I threw out Sydney to you. For me, being able to walk off the ship and being right in Circular Quay, and you have the Opera House, you have the bridge, you walk right into the business district. It's all right there. I don't think there's, and then once you sail away, for me, it's the best. So, no, I got to go with Sydney.
Okay. Listen, for me, it is easily, my favorite port of call was Egypt, just for the history and everything.
There's
that was
no
incredible.
History in Egypt? What are you talking about? Oh, wait. I got this. Never mind.
And my favorite home port, believe it or not, was when we used to dock at Pier 91 in New York City, and we were six blocks away from Times Square. We used to get off the ship, walk down, boom, right there in Times Square in New York, and there's nothing better than New York City. Abe, listen.
We don't remember that.
We've got a couple more questions for you. We're going to do word association, which is always a lot of fun. But tell us a little bit about this virtual tour and where people can figure out what's going on with that.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. Are you?
The virtual cruise, the virtual.
What?
What is it?
I'm not sure.
So virtual tour is completely different.
All right.
So tell us about Virtual of the Seas, because I saw on
Facebook, thank you very much,
that you were in St. Martin. And I mean, first of all, I just want to jump in and say, it's pretty cool seeing it. And yeah, shout out to you for being able to keep that going, because for all the people that don't know and all the guests that are taking part in it, it is a lot of work to put together a cruise compass, especially when you're doing a full-time job. And yeah, you're doing it. So good job.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so to catch everybody up, about just over a month ago, I would say, I had this wild idea. I was actually inspired. Do you remember the Australian couple that reenacted their cruise vacation in their living room?
Yeah.
And they had the big screen TV and everything. And it was whispered in my ear on a conference call on, Abe, that's right up your alley. And I thought, that is actually kind of up our alley. Talked to my wife, and we put together Virtual of the Seas. It's basically a pretend cruise ship going to very real destinations. So I threw it out there on my Facebook page, which is Abe Hughes Royal Caribbean, if anybody's listening and would like to follow. And we started Voyage One. I just threw it out there and said, hey, anybody interested in going on a virtual cruise? And sure enough, there's a lot of people that got involved. And we did made up cruise compasses and, you know, cruise favorite activities, doing trivias and doing a lot of at-home events, a lot of shareable moments, a lot of interaction in between. So we did a one-week cruise. I don't even remember where we went. I think we went to Cozumel and Labadee, Jamaica, and maybe Perfect Day at Coco Cay. In that first week, we got such a great following and, of course, all positive feedback that Royal Caribbean social team, their social media team, picked up on it and said, hey, we'd love to collaborate with you. So Voyage Number 2 was actually in collaboration with Royal Caribbean's actual Facebook page. So we went from my measly 20,000 followers up to 3.8 million followers on Facebook. And every night I do my late night, early morning show, which is something that I would do on the ship. And just over the course of the last month, today was the last day of this cruise. It was voyage number 5. And on Sunday, we'll be setting sail on voyage number 6. So that, if anybody is interested in, if you go to facebook.com/Royal Caribbean or Royal Caribbean's official Facebook page, that's where you can find Virtual of the Seas. And a lot of activities, a lot of fun, you know, again, shareable moments. And it really goes to show you how many people are sitting at home wanting and yearning and just itching to get back to not just a sense of normalcy, but just a sense of going back and enjoying the vacations that they love the most, which is, of course, a Royal Caribbean cruise or just cruising in general.
Yeah. You know what? You're proving that it's not just about going out to the beach and this and that. It's about the experience in itself. And people, this many people, want to actually do a virtual cruise and do the trivia and interact with the cruise director and do all that fun stuff, meet the people. That's what it's all about. It's a completely unique experience that people that have never cruised just don't understand.
Yeah. And I'm okay, fine. Humble brag, whatever you want to call it. Probably I've gotten a lot of direct messages over the last, you know, several weeks, a lot of healthcare professionals that say, hey, after a 16-hour day in the hospital, it's great to come back and just unwind. A lot of people that are staying at home with young kids and kids and families and everything that are able to partake in these various activities is it's great to see. And honestly, it's just an escape from reality. And that's what I've always said it was going to be. And that's what we laid it out to be. My wife does an amazing job in the creative aspect of things because I'm basically just the vocal piece. But at the end of it all, we just, again, inspiring the desire to cruise and just to get back to some sense of normalcy. We don't talk about what happens in the real world. We don't talk about what's happening in the news feed and on the channels and everything. It's just a matter of an escape and having fun. And if you go to my page, Abe Hughes, Abe Hughes Royal Caribbean, you'll be able to see a lot of the interaction and engagement that people have. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool. We'll put the link up.
Okay, yeah. You're going to put the link up next. Listen, very quickly, very, very quickly, because we're completely running over time here. You used to be a cruise director, then you left the cruise line, then you came back to be cruise director, and now tell everybody what you're doing.
Basically means that I can't hold a job. That's the primary aspect of things. But no, I am still with Royal Caribbean International. I am the official title is a strategic account manager, which means that I work with the local travel agents and travel advisors in the Midwest here, making sure that all of their clients have an amazing cruise vacation experience, keeping everybody up to date on what's new with Royal. We're an ever expanding and ever growing company. So just inspiring that desire to cruise and vacation and enjoy the best boat rides there are in the world.
Nice. All right. It's now time for word association time. We're going to give you a word or a name or an object, and you're going to have to give us the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready, Mr. Abe Hughes?
Can I use one of my books in order to figure out what we have? Okay, go ahead.
Charlie McDonald.
Charlie is awesome.
I love Charlie.
That man is fantastic. Let me tell you, Charlie, when I first joined the company and started with the company, he was one of the up and comers. I can't even say up and comer because he'd already done his ship life experience. He'd been promoted to I think it was manager of guest activities at the time. And he is truly one of the reasons why I'm here today and doing what I'm doing today. And the man is amazing. Fantastic.
Listen, he's also the guy that got promoted me. So I love him.
Yeah, he promoted me, Charlie McDonald, Allison Fraser, Ken Rush, Nick Weir, all these guys. Yep. Just thank you.
Nice. Symphony of the Seas.
It's the three-letter word that describes Royal Caribbean. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Rhodes.
Listen. He always starts sentence with listen. No, Jimmy Rhodes was the host of our wedding. He came to New Orleans. He was
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of my best friends. He was assistant cruise director on board Explorer of the Seas on my first contract, second contract. And he still makes fun of me for the first time that we ever went to Portofino. And me being from Nebraska, I ordered the, it was basically a plate of meat that came out raw and it was super, super highfalutin. And
I
was
like, Carpaccio.
Yeah, Carpaccio. And I was like, what is this? I'm expecting meat. I want meat. And he's just like, you, sir, are not cultured. I'm like, no, I'm not.
He tells you how it is.
The NCAA Wisconsin Badgers football team.
What do you want to know? I mean,
do you have any feelings towards them?
You know, if you would have said anything about the Buckeyes, Wolverines, Iowa Hawkeyes, I would have a lot more things to say about it. Actually, funny enough, my last or second to last cruise I was on, and there was a young man that I met who is on the Badgers team as we speak, an amazing young man, and had an opportunity to talk to him, student athlete, wonderful kid. And I said, aside from being a Badger, I think you're a pretty good guy.
All right. We got a couple more. Ken Rush.
Ken Rush was also at my wedding. Yeah. No, Ken, if you were to have a Hall of Fame of Royal Caribbean names, people that would recognize, people that would, you know, that just Royal Caribbean names, you know, okay, we're going to flash back to MySpace when there would be like top eight. Ken Rush's name would be on there. And his face would be on there right along with the founders of the company and the chairman of the board. Let me just tell you.
And that. Even if there was an audio version, you would know that voice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, very quickly, favorite headliner that you've worked with. So whether it's a musical group, whether it's a magician, a juggler, is there one person on that list who you really gravitated towards or you were super happy when they came on board your ship?
Consummate professional. Standing ovation every show, always delivered, and just an all-around great guy. I would say ventriloquist Ron Lucas.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He is one man with a microphone on stage and his dummies.
Yeah.
And it wasn't this huge production value. It wasn't this crazy elaborate sets. It didn't take tons of lighting and this, that, and everything. It was one man, his puppets, literally, and the audience. And he connected so quickly, so fast. And I always loved working with Ron.
Favorite comedian that you've ever worked with on a ship?
Anyone that made me laugh? Does that count? I mean, you'd think that that's like step number one. I worked with so many of them. They're fantastic. Liked working with Troy Thurgill, Phil Tagg, liked working with, you know, Jim David, enjoyed working with Daryl Joyce, had a good time with, even going way back to Craig Carmine. And I don't even want to say way back because he's not much older than we are, but it's just he's a funny guy. And then actually, you know what? A quick shout out to our very own one and only Simeon Kirkleys, which you should have him on this show if you ever get around to it because he's fantastic.
Oh, shut up. Oh, look who
it is. Surprise.
Oh, we can't hear him. That's hilarious.
He's connecting to his audio, but he's there.
I know you asked me earlier, Mike, like who was your favorite comedian? And I said Simeon. I didn't know you were going to bring him on.
I'm here now. Sorry.
Oh, you're even wearing a t-shirt that says I'm here. That is hysterical.
It's actually a Halloween shirt that says, I'm here for the booze.
Brilliant.
Oh my gosh. Oh. And you know what's funny is I wasn't even planning on saying Simeon, and I was like, ah, screw that guy. I'm not going to talk about him.
Oh, no, here's the thing. You know, we were talking about this. Abe, you and I literally talked 10 minutes before we started recording, and yeah. You mentioned, I asked you who your favorite comedian was, and the first name out of your mouth was Simeon. And I'm like, oh, Simeon's online. Let me just shoot him a message here. And you had no idea we were going to bring him in. So, Simeon, you have three cruise directors who absolutely love you. And we want to thank you.
Wait, hold on. Mike, when did Mitch get promoted? I thought he was still an activities manager. No, seriously. I thought Mitch was Mike's activities manager this entire time.
I was back in the day. For two
years. 2009. Simeon, what are you doing?
Pretty much nothing. I have been eating a lot.
Me too.
which is no different from my normal lifestyle. My bed has a giant crater in it. It looks like, you know, my mattress, you know, like when a pavlova like deflates, like, or you smash it with a spoon. That's my mattress. That's pretty much it. I'm going to North Carolina in a few days just to see if I can catch the virus and end this more quickly. And I'm going to go spend some time with my sister. She has a 10-year-old, my little niece. So we're going to go play dress up and have a lot of fun.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Listen, Simeon, we're going to bring you back for another episode if you'll join us, because we have so much to talk about, but I wanted to bring you on because I know Abe, you know, thinks very highly of you, as we all do at Royal Caribbean. And if you haven't had a chance to see Simeon, you got to check him out, creep him on YouTube or whatnot. And
yep.
Yeah. When we start sailing again, I'll be on Symphony probably 2024, 25 sailings, perhaps.
Simeon.
Okay.
So before you take off, I'm sorry, but I did not hear the coronavirus press conference earlier today. Would you just be able to give us just a very brief rundown, maybe 30 seconds, 1 minute recap of what's going on currently?
There was a sign behind the president talking about...
I want to hear from you. I would like to hear from...
Oh, okay. It's a circus. So the media was like, you know, the media just asked their questions. And they're like, Mr. President, what can you tell us about the ongoing efforts that are going within the medical fields right now to try and help stop the spread of this? And he was like, we're looking right now into a lot of sunlight, UV light, you know, because they're saying light, it kills a lot of things, a lot of bad things. You look at it, and very hot surfaces we're looking at. You've got the sun, which is a very powerful ball. I think so anyway. You can look this up. I don't know if you're going to. Very hot. And so we're looking at putting light in the body. We're going to put light in the body. People are saying that's not possible. Have you seen E.T.? Finger did a lot. So... we're going to do that, and we're looking at using disinfectants. A lot of disinfectants, you know, you've got scrubbing bubbles, which you can scrub, which do a great job. You don't even need to do any work because they do it right there. They scrub themselves. Very effective. So we're looking at all of this, and that's going to be a great thing. Literally, that's not too far off from what actually was said on the podium.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you just chiming in a little bit and letting everybody know. Always going on stuff.
Of course.
Well, thanks.
I miss you, my friend. And can you give us a little, can you just sign off this little podcast that we're doing the same that you would do on all of the shows, every show.
Mwah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you had a fabulous time. Go up to the Windjammer, try the bat on a stick.
See you, Simeon.
Kick him out of this room right now.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. He didn't just say that. All right.
He's a comedian. We can't be held liable for what he says. Listen, I worked with Simeon on the takeout of the Oasis, and he was one of the royal players. He has become just, he was funny back then, and he is amazing, hilarious.
Mitch, I don't want to be a one-upper or anything, but Simeon was my crew staff before Oasis. No way. So I'm not going to take 100% of the credit. I've got to give a lot of credit over to Drew Devine, another cruise director, where we were on board Mariner of the Seas, and Simeon signed on the ship as a brand new cruise director staff. And he came on the ship, and here's this larger-than-life character. And Drew was the first to work with him, and he said, this kid is not a cruise director staff. He has got more talent than anybody out there. And he was a clown, seriously a clown from with Ringling Brothers. He had worked many different, you know, parts of entertainment. And so we came up with our own little title, and it was basically Simeon. So there was the cruise director staff plus Simeon. He was a schooner bar entertainer. And you can even YouTube some of the crazy videos of him, because he's an insane piano player. He is a Disney prodigy. He is a clown. He has so much talent. It's unbelievable. Along with that, and I remember he was on the ship for months. His contract was going super long. And I said, Simeon, you need to sign off of the ship. He's like, I don't need to go. No, you need to go on vacation. We have a couple of dates. You can go on, you know, October 26th or November the 3rd. What would you like to go? Well, I suppose October 26th. So that way I can enter my pumpkins into some pumpkin carving contest. I said, what? He says, I'm a professional pumpkin carver. Really? And you know those, and he's like, yeah, let me go show you some photos. So he brings up this album, and you know how there's like the pumpkins that have Johnny Depp carved into those? Yeah, that's Simeon. He has so much damn talent. It is unbelievable. His sketches of Gene Wilder to his impressions to everything across the board. We are damn lucky to have that kid as a part of our family.
You're and right. he used to be a schooner bar entertainer, right?
Yeah. Well, we had a schooner bar entertainer, and Simeon did a really good job in the schooner bar. So we had two schooner bar entertainers that particular month or two that was on board Mariner.
Crazy.
Speaking of scooter bar entertainers and some of my favorite entertainers of all time.
Look at this guy.
Oh my goodness.
Who's that?
None other than Mr. Sean Garrity from Original Mosaic, now from the Edge Effect.
What is going on?
Sean, what's going on, man?
Abe, I haven't seen you or Mike in forever.
I have not seen you since you hit puberty and was able to grow a beard.
That's hilarious. You definitely haven't seen me since that guy down there. It's been a while. He's 10 years old now, schooling us in some Clue on family game night.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank Sean. Thank you so much for popping on with us. We were just talking about our favorite entertainers, and of course, Mosaic and the Original Mosaic, which you were a part of, man. Of course, and Edge Effect. You know, there's nothing better than those groups back in the day. I mean, you guys just brought it, and so we were just talking about guest entertainers, and it's nice of you to take some time away.
Man. Oh, man, it's great to see you too. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you. Oh yeah. Hey, Abe, there you go.
He knows.
He knows. Everybody's on Facebook.
Mitch, let me see that beard, man.
You're on Facebook. You're on Facebook every day. The beard is growing as long as I can in the quarantine. Dude. You know, so I'll be coming for you. Man,
you're looking good. Well, this is pretty trimmed down right now, man. I had a big, ridiculous, crazy beard that my wife went enough. And it had to go.
Same thing. I had to trim the top part. That was my, you know.
I've been growing my beard since the quarantine started, and there's a little bit of a shadow.
I love it.
Starting
maybe one day.
Not sure.
Maybe one day.
Sean, I saw this thing online the other day. Lin-Manuel got the whole Hamilton cast together and did a whole thing. And so I'm gonna put you on the spot right now. One of our next podcasts, not necessarily the next one, maybe one down the road. What's the chance we get Edge Effect on for a little group thing?
Well, here's the deal. What we're trying to figure out right now, and we're doing a lot of tinkering in the virtual world, right? Because we can't get together and we can't find something where we can all be in our own individual. I just noticed that you guys got a shot of my dark bathroom behind me. So I'll change that up here. Probably not the best. Here, you can see this. I made this for my wife for Valentine's Day. That is the lyrics to our wedding song. And I took old pallet wood and cleaned it up and ran it through my planer. I've become like this enthusiast woodworker in all of this. But and then I wrapped some LED lights behind it now, and it just kind of sits there and glows and looks gorgeous. And it's a Mark Broussard tune. It was our first dance for our wedding. So we have that instead of my dark, mysterious, creepy bathroom behind us. We're trying to like use Zoom a lot, but we can't simultaneously sing like all five guys in different locations. We can't all sing at the same time. There's too much lag. So we're doing a lot of stuff where Troy will make like a guide track that we play in our ears, and each guy will listen to, okay, here's where you come in our ears, and we'll sing our part. And then Danny edits all of the video together, so that we can get a song done together while apart. If you guys know of any like low latency ways to perform live, all those performances that you're seeing, they're not done live. Like they're done one person cutting their part, then the next person pasting it in. We're happy to send you some of our videos. You guys could use them on a podcast when we put together this stuff. We're doing lots of collaborations. So we've got Mark Broussard is doing a tune with us that is going to be really cool. We're really lucky to have him. He's a New Orleans based or Louisiana based artist who's amazing. Check him out. We've got some friends on Broadway who are doing some stuff with us now that they're not performing on Broadway. So lots of different shows up there we have connections with, and people are jumping in and doing collaborations. Lots of cool stuff. Some people out in Los Angeles going to be jumping in. So it's going to be cool, and happy to give you guys first dibs on showing a video if you want. But the guys from Edge Effect will definitely get on. You'll get us to sing one at a time.
Nice.
Sean, I don't mean to be like a spoiler alert or anything like that, but are you trying to tell me that the other night when Disney did their Disney sing-along, none of that was actually live? I thought everything was live and nothing was pre-produced.
I'm so sorry, Abe, to crush your childhood awareness and dreams, but yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
I'm done.
I've ever thought and known about the entertainment world is in shambles.
Everyone's
going to learn a little bit here.
It's great to see your face. It's great to hear your voice. We're going to get you back on one of the next podcasts that we do, if you'll join us. But we love seeing you, man. We love being connected. And it's great seeing
to see you guys too. Wonderful to hear the voices, get to see you guys. I've seen Mitch now, DJ Mitch, as I call him, because I remember him from the Serenade,
right?
Spinning up in the.
That was my third contract, my second year on ships.
Was he standing on a milk crate?
I was.
He was. He absolutely.
Sorry. World's shortest cruise director, buddy.
Ayo.
We're just fortunate that we get to work with Mitch a lot and get to see him. It's nice. There's been so much turnover and so many new faces in there. So it's nice to see people that we know and love that we've built relationships with over the years. So it's been really cool.
All right, Sean, you're here with three cruise directors. Of the three cruise directors that you can see, which other cruise director has been your favorite?
Other than the three that I see.
That's correct. We don't want you to pick between us.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's the deal, Mike.
Not fair.
Mike,
because we all know the answer. If that was the case.
Mike, you know that you came in to the adventure where we really got to the old Mosaic, really got to form a close bond with you there because they were there, they had us on so often there. And before you were there, we were there with Richard Spacey, and we were there with him. Honestly, it felt like every third or fourth week we were on the ship with him. So got to form a really close bond with the Spaceman, you know, years and years ago when we were all like young and single and, you know, playing laser tag in the theater and doing ridiculous stuff like that. So Richard Spacey, only because I think he's one of the guys that we were just around so much. It's just a likable, fun guy, and who always looked after entertainment.
One of the best to do What's it. What's that? Right? One of the best to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. He's still goofy as hell. The last video he just put out with him doing the
I saw it.
shake, said Aura. I was on the floor. I'm like, oh my God, he's got an entire audience in front of him.
We haven't even asked him yet, but Mike and I already spoke about this. He's one of the guys that's on our list. We're going to, you know, we got
to
get him on.
All right, so. Here. You got to say hello to my son, Liam, right. Real quick. Shirtless Liam. I'm going to keep it above the shoulders here. These are my buddies, Mike, Abe, and Mitch. They're cruise director friends of mine. We've worked together for years, long before you were here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right.
We'll tell you some stories one day, Liam.
Oh, he just said that guy has the same type of beard as you. Right there. It's the gray. He's referring to the gray in the chin area, Mike.
Son of a... Listen, all the best, Sean. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. All right.
See you later.
No way.
Abe, oh my gosh.
I am so excited for the next surprise guest. Who's it going to be?
This is already
it's
gone.
Nobody. We're out of here.
Over. We are well over. We have time left.
This is crazy. Mitch has to, like, this is charging by the minute. It's like he usually does with those 900 numbers that he used to call.
Right?
Mitch is gonna be so upset because he's the one who edits all of these.
Oh,
and he's
goodness.
Like, how long is this one gonna be? And I'm like, oh, 25, 30 minutes. We'll keep it short. And I think we're already at an hour. This is
you actually edit these?
You know what?
Why don't you just do them like flat out? Why would you have to edit?
We just edit out any audio issue, you know, audio drops or anything like that. Plus, we got our own theme song, so gotta edit that in there.
Oh, okay.
Well, excuse me.
Hey, listen. Don't forget to check out Abe, give one more big plug for your Virtual at Sea.
It's Virtual of the Seas. Thank you very much.
It's the second time he's got it wrong, by the way.
That's totally fine.
I don't have it in my notes. It's weird.
Just go to Facebook, and if you type in Abe, like Abe Lincoln, Hughes, like Howard Hughes, so Abe Hughes, Royal Caribbean, you'll be able to find me. I've got like a whole bunch of friends. I'm way cooler than the other two guys that are on this podcast right now. And yeah, so just follow along.
I was gonna put the link in the video, but not anymore.
Yeah,
you can, or just link up Ken Rush's Facebook profile as well. He's out there.
All right. Thanks, man. Good seeing your voice. Good seeing you. Good hearing your voice. And keep well, keep safe, and give my best to Jess. And all, right, all the best, man.
Thanks, man. I gotta go grow a beard now. Later.
Bye. Good to see you.
Oh, man. That was good.
Oh, wow.
Good fun. Sorry, so dude. That went really long, and
this is good. I mean, this is great. I mean, this is the fun part. You know, we say what we're going to do in the show, and then we kind of switch it up a little bit. That's what it's all about, a little bit of surprises here and there.
Yeah, you know, and the true story is when he said to me before we got on the podcast that his favorite ship comedian was Simeon, I was like, bah, 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 get on thing with Simeon. Hey, can you be on in like 5 minutes? And literally, I was talking to Sean, and I was just like, hey, jump on. And they were doing their family night, and he took some spare time to jump on with us. But we've got so many good stories. I think we just really, really touched a little bit on it, but we should really get in the next couple episodes to sharing some of those cruise life stories that people always want to know about. And I think we can get some people on to share some of those. You know, Spaceman would be a great person to get on. Yep. And you know, we talked about Alex from Princess Cruises. There's a lot of people who we can bring on, Simeon for a full episode. But if you have some suggestions, please DM us, send us a message. And if there's somebody you want to see or you want to hear from, you know, we can see about getting them on.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, right? We're having fun. We're talking about some stuff that a lot of people that are in the industry know about. And a lot of people that are newer in the industry, they don't know about some of the stuff that might have happened back in the day. And for all of our amazing guests that are listening as well, we love talking about this stuff. And it's really fun for you to get to hear some of the inside back of house stuff and what it's like to be a crew member and all those cool stories. Because the entertainers that you see on stage and you know, some of those people that you don't really get to see that much or talk to, it's really cool to be able to have a good time to talk to them here.
Yeah. Hey, great episode, Mitch. Good seeing you. We'll right. We'll check back with you soon.
Okay. Take care, everybody. Remember, Cruise Life Experience at Outlook.com. Subscribe here. You can watch it on YouTube as well. And we appreciate you spending the time with us. Thanks to our guest, Sean Garrity from The Edge Effect and Virtual of the Seas Cruise Director, Abe Hughes. Mike, Mitch, we'll see you next time.
And Simeon. Da-da-da, da-da-da.
And Simeon.